You say, I want to tell you a great story today about Jesus riding into Jerusalem. He was on a donkey, you know, and the people laid down palm branches in front. Now, if you did that, you know what would happen? You'd have a revolt on your hands. And so you have to say, you know, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people gathered their palm branches, and they laid them down in front of him, and they took off their coats, and they put them down. And as he was riding in, all the people were shouting, Hosanna! 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 Now, do you feel like vacation Bible school? That's the way it was. And it was a gracious gift. That's what it means. We were trying to engage these young people to get them to see the power of Christ in their lives and to know the gift of God that can come to them and can really be transformative in their journey. We were inviting them to really grab hold of that day and each day that came along to see it as a gift from God with a new and special message that came directly from God. And today we want to think about what it means for each one of us to grab hold of each and every day, to seize every single day on behalf of God. And we want to read from Philippians chapter 3. As we hear the words of the Apostle Paul, he describes for us his own pattern, his own life pattern of what it means to be people who share their lives with passion. Paul was talking about his history, and he had kind of a difficult history. But when he came to find the love of God through Jesus, everything changed, and he shared these words. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing knowledge, the value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Let us hold fast to what we have attained. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, on this day we shout, Hosanna. Blessed are you, for you come in the name of the Lord. We thank you that you have brought us to this place. You sent us the wisdom and the words of the Apostle Paul that we might grow in spirit because you have given us a day that we can encounter and we can live fully in it because you are fully present with us. Grant us grace now, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, who is Lord and Savior of all. Amen and amen. Well, I'm guessing that if we had a chance to go around and just one by one just survey people and just ask people this essential question about what they would like out of their lives, what would they like to materialize out of their lives? I mean, everybody would have something different, and if we were able to stop people on the street, if we were able to go downtown and just do a little survey of folks, everybody would have something different that they wanted to receive out of life, something that they wanted to accomplish, something they wanted to do, something they wanted to experience. I don't think hardly anybody would say, I'd like to have a mediocre life. Do you think they'd say that? I mean, some people might live that way, but I don't think anybody would say, my goal is to be absolutely mediocre, right? Most of us say, oh, no, we have goals and we have dreams and we have a passion about certain dynamics in our lives. We want some good things to unfold for us. But in spite of those good things that we really want and really long for, sometimes we even fail to do the things that are necessary to be able to achieve the things that are basic to our own dreams. The Apostle Paul, when he's sharing in Philippians chapter 3, he's talking about his own life. And he's talking about what it means to have a passion. And he talks about his passion in terms of his ability to know Jesus, to know the power of resurrection, to know God and his life, and to live fully into that, pressing forward, pressing on to accomplish the high calling that God has provided. He says he's going to do a certain number of things to be able to accomplish that. And he gives us some understanding about his own lifestyle, his own philosophy of life, his own theology of his own journey, that talks about what it's like to be able to grab hold of every single day and to hold on to it tight and to know that God has something special in every single moment. So we're talking about this idea of carpe diem, that we would seize the day, that we would grab hold and we would hold on and we would not let go. We would hold fast to what God has in store for us. But there are some steps that we have to take in order to really fully engage every single day. And some of those steps are very obvious to us. Some of them are more detailed and more intimate. But there are some key steps that the Apostle Paul identifies for us right here in this particular passage. One of the key things that he identifies for us right away, it's essential for every single one of us, it's essential for every organization, essential for every family, for every church, you name it, finding and living in accordance with our purpose. Knowing what our purpose is. For Paul, he says, my purpose is pretty clear. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of resurrection. I want to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know the fullness of what God has in store for me. He says that is his passion and his purpose. We all have a purpose. Sometimes it might be invisible to us. Sometimes we might have a tough time nailing it down, but we all have a purpose. A few years ago, Sue and I were filling out some forms for the IRS. You know the IRS? You know those folks? And we were in this process of developing a corporate structure for a mission agency, and so we were filling out these nonprofit things. Thank God when nobody knew about tea parties and things like that at that particular point in time. We'd still be waiting to hear from them. But they responded to us right away, and they said, tell us more about what you have in mind. And they wanted to know what our intent was, what our focus was going to be, who was going to receive the money, how the money was going to be spent, all the details. They wanted to know our purpose. And if the purpose wasn't clear, they weren't going to authorize that focal point. And so we had to draw it down to say, here is the specific purpose of what we're going to seek to accomplish. Now, we all have a purpose in our lives. Sometimes you might even have a purpose statement that is even written out. You might have that sort of thing for your life, for your family, for your organization, for your business, whatever it might be. But it's essential that we have an idea. But when it becomes a secret to us, when we don't even know it ourselves, that's a bit of a problem. But sometimes that happens. If you think that your passion, your purpose is kind of a secret to you, here's a couple of clues. You know these clues. You know them really, really well. Places that you can look to find out about your purpose. Look in your checkbook. Look in your calendar. The place where you spend your time, the place where you spend your money. Those will be things that will give you identity about the things that have become a purpose for you. And so people spend their time and money on lots of things. You might look at your checkbook and discover, well, I spend most of my money just on survival kind of items. I pay the rent and I buy the groceries and I buy enough gas to be able to get back and forth to work, and that's about the size of it. But some might spend a lot of money on hobbies or resources or habits or even addictions. That we spend lots of money and lots of time on lots of different things. We all have a purpose. We just need to identify it. For the Apostle Paul, he said his purpose was to know Christ and to know the power of the resurrection and to live fully into that power. Sometimes drawing a focal point on our purpose is really the key. My all-time favorite person in the world, my Uncle Jess. I mentioned my Uncle Jess to you before. You'll probably hear about him more as we go through time together. But you can't go wrong with a name like Jesse Jessen. You know, he got the same front name, same back name, Jesse Jessen, you know. But he was the kind of guy who his purpose in life was to help other people feel good about their experience. And so if you met him in a restaurant, if you were waiting on his table, you would have walked away feeling really good about that experience. If you met him on the street, you would walk away feeling good about that. If you sat down in a meeting with him, you would walk away going, oh, I feel really good about that experience. And he did it in the most interesting way. He loved glitz and gizmos, and so he loved diamonds and jewelry and fancy things like that. Not for the sake of focusing attention on himself, but because he knew that other people enjoyed those things too, and that kind of sparkle kind of added sparkle to other people's lives as well. And when he died, he gave me a batch of stuff. And in the stuff, there was a box. And I opened the box, and I looked inside, and there was a pen and pencil set. Now, I'm going, well, that's cool, a pen and pencil set. How about that, you know? I could have got the Lincoln, could have got the, you know, but pen and pencil set. But then I looked a little deeper, you know, there was a ballpoint pen and a mechanical pencil and a fountain pen, and I realized that they weren't just any old pen, they were a solid 18 karat gold. They cost about $500 to $800 a piece when they were new. That was before gold prices were really valuable in the process. And so I'm going, wow, what am I going to do with a $500 pen? What am I going to do with that? I mean, I'm not going to carry it around in my pocket. I mean, what if somebody says, can I borrow your pen? You go, no. You cannot touch my pen, you know? And what do I do when it runs out of ink? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a $500 pen. If it runs out of ink, it's not worth anything. And you would give your life for a 29-cent Bic if you're going to sign your paycheck. Sometimes our purpose needs to draw a focal point. And if our purpose runs out of ink, any old pen will do. Doesn't matter if it's glitzy or glamorous. And so knowing who we are and what is our passion is essential for us. Paul says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to live with him in his sufferings. And I want to know, ultimately, the gift of resurrection. He says that's his purpose in life. And he stepped forward to be able to accomplish that purpose. Once you identify a purpose in life, then it is your gift to be able to grab hold of it and to live for it and to live with it passionately every single day, every single moment. And what better gift could we offer ourselves than saying, our passion is in knowing Christ, knowing Jesus as Lord. A second ingredient for us, once we have an idea about our passion or our purpose, we need to know more about how we are going to focus on the future. And there are some things that we need to do to be able to focus on the future. Paul says, this one thing I do, I press on. I set aside the things that are in the past, and I press on toward the high calling which God has provided for me, so I might be able to accomplish that gift of knowing Christ in the fullness of his life and journey. So he says, some things that I need to do that I need to just set aside. And for many of us, we've talked about this before, for many of us, there are things in our life journey, good things, bad things, that have happened that we need to set aside. Some bad things happened for the Apostle Paul. I mean, he had spent his early part of his life journey as a young adult. He had spent it persecuting followers of Jesus, persecuting followers of the way. And he had injured them, and he had been cruel to them, and he had even murdered them. And so he had lots of things that could have focused him in the past. He could have said, I'm just going to focus on the past, and that past is going to hold me tight. And you may have had experiences in your journey somewhere where the past has been so powerful for you that you just can't get beyond that. But Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, by the power of forgiveness, to set aside the things that are behind and move forward toward the things that are on the horizon. Because sometimes we can get captured by the past. We can get captured by the good things of the past and by the bad things of the past. You know what happens for us sometimes, even as individuals or even as congregations or even as Christian folks, We want to go back and we want to grab hold of that thing. We want to remember that good thing that happened for us back then when we felt so close to God or when everything was going so well, and we want to go back and we want to grab that and we want to recreate it. And we'll do anything sometimes to be recreating it. We'll go to the same place and we'll be with the same people and we'll try to create the same atmosphere and we'll do the same thing over and over again to try to recreate what has been good in the past. But those good things sometimes are just as much of an anchor as the bad things in our life. The other day, we had a couple of young men who were working in our house, working on our floor, and they came. We walked in while they were working, and they had the radio turned up really loud. You know how it was, you know? They had it cranked up really, really loud, and I'm going, "Whoa, man," you know? And then I started listening to their music, and they're, you know, they're in their 20s, maybe early 30s, and all of a sudden, here comes a song on, and it's Bruce Springsteen. I'm going, "Bruce Springsteen? What are you doing listening to Bruce Springsteen?" And you know what the song was? Glory Days. You remember Glory Days? About a guy's high school experience where everything was so good. And he said, after a while, all you get stuck with are just those memories of those glory days. We can get stuck on the days when things were so good, when we lived in that different place, when the kids were younger, when I had that different kind of job, when everything was good. And we can get stuck in that spot just as easy as we can get stuck with the things that weigh us down because they're so bad or dangerous or damaging or painful to us. So knowing that we have a purpose, moving forward with that purpose by setting aside the things that are past, by pressing on toward the future, and living fully in this day, to seize this day. It's the only day we have. It's this one right now. A third element for us is the element of really fully being able to activate all those ingredients, to be able to bring our passion and our purpose to a spot where it all comes to life. When Paul says, "I want to know the power of resurrection," when he says, "I want to know the gift of resurrection," he's saying, I want to bring those things to life. I want to activate them in my spirit, and I want to be able to passionately make them come alive with everything that I do. You may have heard a story at some point in time about a young soldier who was traveling with his commanding officer. He was in a bit of trouble, and his commanding officer is taking him, and they had to travel by train. So they got on the train. They discovered that the only two places to sit were in this one little compartment sitting right across from this attractive young woman and her grandmother. And so they sat down right across from each one, and right away the grandmother was giving this young man kind of the evil look, and the commanding officer was trying to keep him under control. But the young lady and the young man, they were obviously interested in each other, and they were sort of they were watching one another back and forth. And all of a sudden the train goes into a tunnel, and the whole place gets dark, and it's silent for a moment. And then there's two sounds. First, there was the sound of a huge kiss, and then there was a slap, like a slap across the face. And the grandmother said, "I thought," you know, she was thinking to herself, thinking, "I can't believe he kissed her, but I certainly am glad that she gave him the slap that he deserved." And the commanding officer was saying, thinking to himself, thinking, "Well, I don't blame him for kissing her, but I sure wish she hadn't have missed and hit me, you know." And the young woman is thinking, "I sure am glad he kissed me, but I'm so sorry that my grandmother hit him back in return." And they came out of the tunnel, and there's the young man sitting there very smiley. He had kissed the girl and slapped his commanding officer and got away with both. He sees, you know. Now, we don't want to do that. But today is the only day we have. Our journey of faith is not about yesterday. Our journey of faith is not going to unfold. We can't count on what's happening in the future. Today's the only day that we have. Today's the day. And the Apostle Paul says, wouldn't it be great if we were all on the same page? He said, literally, for those of you who are mature in your faith, we should think the same things.
And he said, and if you wonder about those things that we should think, then God will make that clear to you as well. What was the same thing that he wanted us to think? That we would know the power of Jesus in our lives. That we would know the gift of resurrection. Even that we would live and experience the sufferings of Christ, so that ultimately we would know the passion of Christ. Today is the only day we have. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, on this day, you have invited us into your passion, into your purpose, into your gift of grace. So I pray just now, Lord, as we gather together in a spirit of prayer, I pray that you would bless each one with the gift of forgiveness as we think about the things of the past that might hold us back. And so we ask, God, that you would help us to set aside those things that perhaps have been a burden. That you'd help us set aside even those things that were glory days that have captured us. And that you would help us, Lord, to live fully this day according to your purpose. That we would press on, that we might win the prize of the upward calling. So, Lord, we pray that you would draw close to each one of us, and that you would lead us, and that you would lead us by the power of your grace and with the majesty of your hand. And you would take us to places that we have only dreamed about. And you would grant us grace that would be abundant and full. And for that, we would give you great thanks. For we ask this prayer and all prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of all. Amen.